Larry Rivers mastered the old-fashioned techniques of drawing and painting, while other artists in the 1950s were exploring abstract expressionism. Rivers painted detailed, slightly askew versions of the old masters, also of Camel cigarette packs. He played jazz, and he became a fixture in the New York art world. Now Larry Rivers is the subject of a retrospective at the Corcoran Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. Alex Van Oss reports.
The Corcoran is a formal sort of place. However, this press opening was anything but. Museum director David Levy played saxophone along with his old bandmate Larry Rivers, who was resplendent in shirt sleeves, sneakers, and a silk vest. Born in 1923, Rivers himself started out as a sax player.
I was named Yitzchok Loiser Grossberg, but I played in a nightclub when I was like 18, 19 years old, where some comedian thought it'd be very funny to say Larry Rivers and his Mudcats. So I was introduced as Larry Rivers. So the next job I went to, I used the name Rivers.
Rivers played in jazz groups around New York and then decided to take some painting lessons from the wife of one of his bandmates. Then he studied formally, and soon Rivers attracted the attention of the art world. Handsome, full of energy, Rivers was apt to do anything, say anything, and create anything in the best bohemian hipster style. But with a difference. While other artists painted abstracts or pop icons like soup cans and comic strips, Rivers embraced figurative and classical painting.
You know, the thing about Larry is that you're looking at an artist who has much more skill than most. So he can do anything.
In the 1970s, Corcoran director David Levy hired Rivers to teach at the Parsons School of Design in New York. The ambitious painter had already set out on a mission to outmaster the old masters. He'd copy a Rembrandt and then rub part of it out, add some stenciled letters, or turn it into a montage, a collage, a sculpture, and show the whole process, erasures and all.
Larry is very freewheeling in his painting. I mean, you know, he writes telephone numbers down on his canvases. And then leaves him there.
Freewheeling in art, unorthodox in life, in the 1950s, Rivers set up household with his two young sons and also his ex-mother-in-law. He painted them all, clothed and nude, and was criticized for his unflattering portrayal of an older woman. At the Corcoran, he paused by these paintings.
So that's my mother-in-law, Bertie Berger. I think I did it twice. I'm not sure exactly why I did it twice. I was thinking that does it have to do with... When I got to be a certain age, is that what I would be faced with in women or something like that? So I was trying to get myself used to the idea. Any questions?
Rivers' life has not been all laughter, nor is his art. He's also made paintings of the Holocaust and of slavery in America. And for all the irreverent humor in his depictions of friends and famous people, it comes as a shock to see a very different image of the artist himself. It's in the exhibition catalog, a dignified portrait by Fairfield Porter. Painted in 1952, it shows Rivers as a young man, sitting calmly in a T-shirt with bandages around both wrists. He had tried to commit suicide.
Everybody is an age where they think they should bring it to an end, but I didn't really. Very usual stuff. I think something to do with someone going off with someone else. But he didn't say anything about it, did he? Just you saw like not bandage, but cloth around my wrist. Could have been bracelets, like cloth bracelets, no?
With Larry Rivers, painting turned into sculpture and expanded into stage set installations. For a portrait of artist Jim Dine, Rivers painted his friend's head and torso on two panes of a storm window that open and close for different views.
I think this may go down.
To the alarm of Corcoran curators at this opening, Rivers decided to put his hands on the work and demonstrate.
This is a little like we're now going into the museums and adding a few touches to... Okay, great. Well, we'll tell the Museum of Modern Art now.
Storm window portrait.
Corcoran director David Levy.
Well, you know, as a museum person, of course, it gives you the chills. And I'm glad our registrar wasn't there, because she would probably have gone over and slapped his hands. But on the other hand, who better to do it than the guy who made the painting?
Rivers has often taken icons of painting and turned them into his personal takes on history. He made a smudgy version of General Washington crossing the Delaware, and he reinvented David's famous portrait of Napoleon with his hand in his vest and called it the greatest homosexual. He then refused a $25,000 offer to change the title. Rivers' biggest work was his 1965 construction, The History of the Russian Revolution, from Marx to Mayakovsky.
This is Trotsky.
It's the size of a room, 13 by 33 feet of painting, graffiti, poetry, sculpture. Rivers hammered the work together in his kitchen, so he threw in some kitchen plumbing as well. There's also a storm window with another portrait. Rivers makes a dive. Curator Jacqueline Serwer again tries to stop him, but too late.
Hey, that's Stalin. I didn't even remember this.
From time to time over the last century, painting has been declared dead. But Larry River still paints exuberantly, mixing history with showbiz, personal memories with public iconography. And even in the age of the computer, River says there is still room for the act of putting color on canvas.
People want to paint. I don't know why, but they do. They continue to want to paint. As time passed it, perhaps. It'll take a long time for it to realize it, you know what I mean, for painting to realize it. You just keep going. Don't listen to anybody. Keep doing it. How's that?
The retrospective Larry Rivers, Art and the Artist, remains at the Corcoran through July. For NPR News, I'm Alex Van Oss in Washington.